Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I am here with cookbook author Julia Tertian. You already know her because I posted about her new cookbook, Simply Julia, which came out in March, and like 9,000 people commented and they were like, I've already made every single recipe 70 times and I've thrown out all of my other cookbooks and this is the only one I cook from. Thanks so much. Like, welcome aboard the train, Caroline. Julia, thanks so much for coming.
That was so kind. Thank you so much for having me. I am a fan of your show and I'm so excited to be here today. This is great.
We are so excited to have you. Right before we hopped on to record, we were just talking about our pets. You have two dogs. I have two cats. We were just talking about it's kind of like dogs are, and you and your wife don't have any children, correct?
Nope, just the dogs. We used to have a cat, but he is not with us anymore, but he's, you know, in our hearts.
He's crossed the rainbow bridge.
Yes, exactly.
Do you feel like sometimes children might be easier than dogs?
I know that I often, with friends of mine, like close friends who have young kids, I'm always like, oh yeah, same thing with our dog. Or like, oh, our dog did this just like your kid. And I'm like, are they offended? Because I wouldn't be offended, but maybe hard for me to say. I don't know. I feel like this is like a slippery slope that I probably shouldn't like dip my toe in. I love my dogs. Kids are great. I don't want to offend anyone.
I don't think you would offend anyone. I'm just thinking about, because we're still in the puppy stages of Lottie and all of my friends, you know, and I was also afraid to be like, I have friends who have toddlers and then both also just gave birth to their second. And I'm very like, part of me wants to be like, same. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, not same. But the friend whose puppy had the litter, and where I got my puppy has twins. And she said, hands down.
Human twins.
Yes. And she was like, oh, puppies hands down. At least the first 2 weeks, like much harder. And that kind of made me feel better. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I feel like what I'm jealous about the people with children as opposed to the puppies is the puppies sort of plateau around where a kid is at about a 1.5. And that's just the rest of your life. It's like at least with children, you see them grow and evolve, and with the puppy you're like, how come you're 5 years old and still eating the mattress?
Yeah, I'm expecting our dogs to talk back to us, yeah, one day. Like, I really think it's gonna happen. And I guess if you have human children,
they do,
that does happen. It's really true. Be great.
I know,
all the time I'm like, could you just tell me what's
right
happening?
Like, yeah. You get some payback with the humans. With the dogs you're just like again waiting for the dog to poop the mattress out, which is a true story, you guys. Lottie ate part of a mattress this morning and we're just waiting for all that to pass. Julia, this cookbook is so good.
On that note.
Yeah, on that, right. A strong pivot. This cookbook is so good.
Thank you.
I really love that, like, you know, anytime I read a cookbook with healthy in the title, mm-hmm, I get like a little like triggered.
Yeah, me too.
But
yeah,
like, but healthy takes on, I mean, you kind of wrote this in your introduction. I know you've talked about this with other people, but just for those who haven't heard those interviews, who haven't read the introduction yet, there is healthy on the title, but health, you have a broader scope for that word. Can you talk about that a little?
Totally. I would be delighted to. So yeah, the subtitle of the book is 110 easy recipes for healthy comfort food. Every time I say that, I like take a breath because I'm like, get it right. Get it right, Julia. Don't get this wrong.
What's the name of my book?
So healthy is there, and healthy is a loaded word. And just like you, I appreciate you sharing that. I have like a reaction when I see it on a cookbook, when I see it on a, you know, a restaurant menu, when I see it on food packaging, like anywhere where the word healthy is used next to something that has to do with food, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, who's selling me what? And usually I am very triggered, having been someone who was so devoted to diet culture for as long as I was. And when I say that, what I'm really saying is that I think the word healthy is often used instead of the word skinny, and healthy and skinny are just not the same thing. Like, one does not equal the other. And so this cookbook, Simply Julia, is a book of healthy recipes, healthy cooking that has absolutely nothing to do with weight loss and has everything to do with having what I understand to be a healthy relationship with cooking and eating, which for me is one that is positive, is loving, is like kind and generous, and there's a lot of gratitude and there's a lot of community and connection. You'll notice I didn't say anything about like fiber or, yes, you know, protein or, yes, anything. It's just about how we feel. And for me, this comes from like a deeply, deeply personal place, because I've loved to cook my whole life, like forever, since I was really little. But I've had a pretty fraught relationship with eating, and I haven't had a very healthy relationship to the food I consume. And that's a relationship I've been working on repairing for a long time. And I just wanted to share that because I know what it's felt like for me to hear that shared by other people. And yeah, I wanted to put that in a cookbook. So that's a long answer to your question.
But it's a perfect, yeah, answer. No, it's a perfect answer, because flipping through, I mean, you're right, like that we need to sort of, what I think you're doing is sort of reclaiming the word healthy, mm-hmm, in a way that doesn't mean like piece of salmon, three asparagus, mm-hmm, you know, like measure your oil, mm-hmm, like salmon the size of your fist. I mean, like when, mm-hmm, you think healthy, you think people really trying to eat as little as they can, mm-hmm, and still feel, I don't know, like, and then whatever that have a byproduct of that action, you know, whether it's losing weight or whether it's fitting into a certain size. And that's what's triggering for me, I think. And like, yeah, so you see the word healthy, but then you open up Simply Julia and you get like dumplings, and I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I'm into it. I'm very into it. Like the shredded pork, is so good. That was the first thing that I met. Made, and I did not want to share it with my husband.
It was, what about your dog?
A struggle. Well, she's already full from the mattress, so she was like, "Oh, I'll pass on this one for now." But the cats were like, "I'll take a plate," and then, you know, we got where we are. But like, you know, like the everything bagel hand pies, like everything in here is so the antithesis of what you would think about when you would see like a sort of 1990s health food, mm-hmm, low fat, no fat, no sugar, Atkins, mm-hmm, diet kind of thing. And I think you've sort of done a really good job at reclaiming that.
Thank you.
And what better time? I mean, released right in the beginning of March, kind of as we came up to a year, mm-hmm, of living through a pandemic, to release a cookbook of food that people can feel really like nourished and comforted by. Did you have plans before? Because I know how long a cookbook can take. Mm-hmm. Was this in the works pre-pandemic?
Yeah, I pitched the book and started working on it in basically like spring 2019. So like a year before the pandemic began. Mm. And then it came out on just what you said, like the year kind of anniversary of the pandemic.
Right.
You know, more or less. And so when I started working on this book, obviously I had no idea what was going to happen when the book came out, which is true every time you start working on a book, but this is definitely my first time putting out a book during a global pandemic. But, you know, my love of home cooking and my celebration of my fellow home cooks, like that for me is, has been my whole life and will be my whole life. Like that is not a trend. That's not timed to anything in particular. That is just like what I believe in and what I will forever champion. I basically believe home cooks are incredibly important and incredibly valuable and never get the credit they deserve. Like I'm someone who gets a lot of credit from home, right? Like that's very unusual. So I just want to go around giving high fives to everyone who cooks at home because it's a big deal because it's a ton of work and a lot of thoughtfulness. Yeah. So anyway, so that was like always, you know, on my mind. Sure. And then working on this book, I wanted it to be like the most practical book I've ever written. Like every chapter basically answers one of the questions I get asked most frequently. You know, there's a chapter of all salad dressings because I get asked about making salad dressing a lot. There's yeah. a chapter of all chicken recipes because that's like one of the most Googled things in the world. There's yes. a chapter of one pot vegan meals because they can be easy and fun. And then, you know, it evolved into also being a very personal book. There's a lot of other writing in this book. And so that was all pretty much done before the pandemic, the recipes, the writing. But then when COVID started, that's basically when I got into taking the photos for the book and started editing the book. So I got to kind of reflect on everything I just said against the backdrop of a pandemic that yeah. was, you know, affecting all of us in different ways and was also, you know, putting a lot of people, if we were lucky enough to be at home and cooking. And so, yeah, when the book came out, I think it is definitely well-timed for, you know, a large group of people who are cooking at home more yeah. than ever. But yeah, that wasn't like, I wasn't like, I'm going to make a cookbook that's works well with a pandemic. Like, I mean, that was not the plan. But
it's incredible timing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're coming out of this year with, I think, a lot more people who would describe themselves as home cooks than mm-hmm. they would have a year ago. I'm not one of them. But I did marry a home cook. Which
well,
is why
that's probably even smarter it's than right, the rest exactly. of us.
Which is why I do not feel any pressure to become one. I just keep supplying recipes and I'm like, hey, doesn't this sound so fun? You should totally make this. But it's wonderfully timed. But you've always been like, I know that it probably is a little bit and maybe I'm projecting or maybe I'm just guessing, but like, you know, no one wants to be seen as the person who's like, oh wow, they like capitalized on the pandemic and like
oh,
made it.
Gosh.
But you've yeah. always been yeah. so community driven, community minded yeah. in your cooking and food. You've sort of harnessed that talent as a home chef and served, and that's the way that you serve and you show up for your community, which I think is really interesting and really authentic to who you are. So the book just is very authentic to me in that way, just knowing your work.
Yeah, that's really kind. Thank you.
And it's your handwriting, that font. And that yes. font is your handwriting. I confirmed yes. before we jumped on, you guys. Because I was like, what font is that? And I was like, you know what? I bet it's her handwriting. Was that, did you like, is that, does it, does that handwriting come out of you naturally? Or did you have to perfect the way that you write?
Yeah, I tried not to like overthink it too much. Basically, the decision to include the handwriting, it happened in a kind of funny way. And for anyone who hasn't seen the book, the title of the book is in my handwriting, but also every recipe title throughout the book is in my handwriting.
Yes.
We did not make it into a font. I wrote each title many, many times, like the art director picked whichever one worked.
Wow.
So I tried not to overthink it because I just wanted it to feel natural. You know, just to how I would write things. I kind of wanted the book to sort of feel like my grocery lists, mm-hmm. like that kind of like just feeling and sort of that, you know, just literal kind of like personal touch. But I will say in the process of writing all these things so many times, I learned that I write on a slant, like my writing goes up to the right. I was talking to my mom about it and she was like, I think it means you're like optimistic. Like it's going
oh,
up.
Moms are so cute. I love that.
So I had to like devise this thing where I would like, take a ruler and draw a straight line and because it's not on lined paper, you know,
right.
I was just taking pieces of like computer paper, but I had to put this straight line underneath my paper. Like I had to figure out a whole thing.
Wow.
But
second grade anyway, all over yeah. again.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I'm like, that's where I'm kind of my happiest. Like, yeah.
I love that. I mean, I didn't actually realize I know you said, oh, it's not a font. But then I realized, like, while you were talking just now, you could have easily just written the alphabet in uppercase and lowercase, and they could have just made that a font for you. But you literally, everything is written.
Yeah, I mean, that may have been smarter. I'm not saying this was, like,
the best I love it. Let's make life harder for ourselves. What else were you doing, Julia? It was a long year. Like, come on.
I made my own yogurt at one point.
Right. Everyone else was doing sourdough starters. You were like, I've been there. I'm just going to do this whole book in my handwriting. That'll be super easy. I really love it. And I also think, like, you're right. Home chefs and home cooks do not get enough attention. Mm-hmm. It is so, and I know this from living with someone who does it, and my brain just doesn't work this way. Like, I'll open the fridge and see nothing, and my husband will see like 19 different things we can eat. And it just, I thought that would rub off on me in the last 7 years, and it just hasn't. I still open the fridge and I'm like, we have nothing. He's like, we have so much food. And I'm like, we have nothing. And what I'm really saying is there is no frozen pizza in the freezer. That's what I mean. So, like, it is really, you're right. We don't give enough credit to people who can, like, really visualize, see, and execute something in their own kitchen. And because, we're always looking for, like, oh, well, what are your, what's your resume? What are your accolades? And I think it's even cooler to be like, oh, nothing. Like, I just really, I mean, not, you're not nothing. You are the New York Times bestseller. But I think it's very cool for,
I mean,
but I think it's cool for
that
people.
That doesn't mean what I think people think it means.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, for someone to come up with, like,
I'm with you. I'm totally
spices
with you.
And ingredients and be able to understand how much salt is needed or not needed in food. I don't have that talent. And anyone who's eaten anything I've ever made on my own can tell you that. It just, it's pretty incredible.
Well, I really appreciate hearing this, especially from someone who's, like, observing it. Like, and it's also, it reminds me, you know, I feel the way it sounds like how your husband feels. Like, I open the fridge in my house and my wife is like, we need to pick up food. And I'm like, no, we don't. Yeah. And then I make something and she's like, where did this come from? And I'm like, from the things you were just looking at.
Right.
So, like, I really identify with your husband there. And it's funny because when I think about it, I think that moment happens in so many other, like, departments within households or just in life in ways that I have no talent for or ability for. Like, there's people who can, like, walk into a rundown building and be like, oh, if you move this wall and do this, it's gonna, like, look this way. Like, you can see that sort of vision. Or, like, someone who can write fiction, like, oh my god, how do you do that? Right. Like, how do you come up with these ideas and stuff? And so I feel like, you know, this kind of same moment of just, like, seeing something and seeing what's required to make it that thing that doesn't quite exist yet, like architects, landscape people, gardeners, like, you know, people do this all the time. I just, you know, with, along with your husband, like doing it in the kitchen. Anyway, I never thought about it this way, but I'm into this train of thought.
It's really true. And I can relate to Grace in that I'm like, where did all this food come from? And he's like, it's all the non-food you said we didn't have. It's all that food, it's, like, all that food you poo-pooed a half hour ago.
Ingredients. Right. They're ingredients.
I'm like, I don't understand. And then he's like, I can try to explain to you. I'm like, no, I'd rather think it's magic. Don't tell me anything. Don't, I don't want to
know. You know what? I think that's great. Because you probably really enjoy it. Like, a musician. Like, I've spoken to musicians who have a hard time just listening to music and enjoying it because they're, like, dissecting it. And I'm like, oh my god, this is such a great song. I can't tell you why. It's just, like, fun.
I'm just enjoying, like, it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I
don't
just
learn
to
cook.
Exactly.
Stay where you are.
I just, yeah. And Dan is very big on, like, I know, well, I'm never going to learn to cook. So now I have your blessing and I appreciate that. And Dan has a hard time going to restaurants because he can appreciate a restaurant, but, like, more often, and not in the last year because we really haven't even gone out to a restaurant at all, but it's, like, a really big deal for him. He wants to eat food that he cannot make at home.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's really big on, like, I need to go somewhere where someone does something so well that it would be really difficult for me to recreate. And not, like, in a cocky way, but in a, like, you know, if I'm going to have an eating experience, I want it to feel like I'm elevating my knowledge about X kind of food, where I'm like, can we order burgers? Like, can we, what about, like, that? Like, what about this thing? Or, like, can we order pasta is the thing that he, like, I think is going to divorce me over. Cause he's like, oh, okay, let's definitely spend $26 on pasta. We couldn't possibly make it for 90 cents at home. Does Grace cook at all, or is she like me where she's like, okay, cool?
No, she totally cooks. She's like the best breakfast cook.
Nice.
She makes like the best eggs. She makes great pancakes, like all that kind of stuff. And then like more lunch and dinner kind of food. Like she, I mean, she should answer this, not me, but we talk about it all the time because I think she like likes cooking, but she doesn't like love it. Like she'll do it. And I think she's like a very good home cook. But I think if she never had to make dinner again, like she wouldn't be sad. Like,
sure.
I would be sad. Like I would feel like something was taken away from me. Like,
yeah.
But I think she'd be totally fine with that. And but when it comes time to do it, she's happy to, like, whatever. She makes, I feel like I'm talking too much. She's a great cook.
You're on a podcast where you are invited to talk.
Am I about to like say something about my wife?
No, you're joking. No, I'm just saying we all know who we married, I think is the point. She's like, I don't ever want to cook dinner again. She's like, oh, my partner does that. Great. And I did the same. I think that that's wonderful. I'm a little jealous that she can cook a good egg. I am of no use to anyone. I take the animals like outside while things are happening. That's where I can be helpful.
That is very helpful.
Look, thank you so much. I really
who feeds the pets?
We split divide. I am more dog oriented. Okay. Dan is more cat oriented. And but we fill in when we have to. He has the dog at the park now because she only barks when I'm recording episodes. Oh. It's really, it's a really amazing feat of timing, but
I'm honestly impressed we've gone this far into our conversation and you haven't heard our dogs. So I'm just going to knock on wood very lightly so they don't think I'm knocking on the door. Okay.
That's amazing. If we hear them, I love the sounds of people's home situations anyway, and you'll probably hear my cats scrapping sort of. I wish we could take them to the dog park too. Unfortunately, they would not fare well there. Speaking of homes though, you guys are now full time out of New York City, correct?
Yeah, and we have been for a while. 6 going on 7 years.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought that this was more of a recent development.
No, like way pre-pandemic.
Amazing.
And I feel extremely grateful for our home. I've always felt that way, but especially over the last year, especially to be like settled where we live. And by that, I mean, like, we're very lucky to be very comfortable in our home. And also, like, we're surrounded by people we know and like community, like we've gotten to know our neighbors. And that has been just such a, I don't know, something I'm just very, very grateful for.
It looks so idyllic. And it's very cool. I thought this was I just assume anyone who is in a house did it in response to the pandemic. But I think very, very ahead of the trend, you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
No, I'm glad we were too, because I don't know that we could afford to, you know, move where we are now because things have changed a lot recently.
Wild.
So yeah, it's really wild. Yeah.
But let's talk about your out of office reply email, because when we were scheduling this episode, Julia and I were going back and forth about dates and times. And then all of a sudden I get, you know, not necessarily out of office, but a more of like, I'm not sitting at my computer all day. So it might be a few before I see this email. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to not sit at my computer all day. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Yeah. Why my bounce back is up.
Yeah. Let's talk about your bounce back.
So my bounce back, the subject line is gone farming.
Yeah.
Like gone fishing. so I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, something like that. I started working full time at my favorite local vegetable farm, where I am on the farm crew, the seasonal farm crew. And it's a full time job that I will have through like Thanksgiving, basically.
Excellent.
And so I set up this bounce back because for at least 8 hours a day, I am not home. I'm not at my computer. I'm not on my phone. That's part of why I applied for and took this job. It has been so wonderful. I love it so much. I'm also really nervous for when it gets really hot because I think I'm just going to wilt. But I have like all these different water bottles.
You're like preparing.
The hardware store. Yeah, totally. like you can put the hat in water and it's supposed to keep you cooler. And I was like, should that be my thing for the podcast? God. But I haven't tried it yet. So okay. I can't really vouch
You'll
for it.
You'll come back again and okay, tell sure, us about sure. it. Yeah. I also think you need to get the, you know, the 1990s squeeze breeze with the fan and the spray and like hose yourself
Grace
down.
Grace bought me one.
Incredible. Me one. Excellent. I feel like we're all very much on the same. Anytime it's over 80 degrees, I become like a monster and need to be like near water at all times. I get it.
Totally.
So
totally.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So you are like.
That's where I am.
Just doing like non-internet, like it's so important to have a job with your hands, I think, that takes you away from like mindlessly doom scrolling, as Anne Helen Peterson coined that term. And I've thought about that, but I still find myself on Instagram like all the time. What was there like a breaking point for you that was like, I need to pivot kind of. Out?
I think there was like basically a lot of small breaks over the years that like amounted to like a, I need to do this kind of thing. So basically I have worked on cookbooks for my entire career, like starting like when I was in college, it's all I've ever done. And I have essentially spent the last like 15 years working on about 15 cookbooks because I've done a bunch of my own, but also I've worked with a lot of other people on their cookbooks. And I love cookbooks and I want to continue to love cookbooks. So I need a break from them. And it wasn't necessarily like the cookbook work that got me burnt out. I got burned out basically.
Yes.
But it was, you know, it's the, you know, everything we've all kind of lived through, but also just the amount of time I've spent on screens. It just wasn't sitting well with me. I just didn't feel great. And something I've learned about myself, kind of going back to this like evolving relationship with myself, this, you know, attempting to have a healthier, happier relationship with myself. Something I've learned is like, I love being outside. Like I love it. But I don't really want to go on like a hike every day or something. Like I like doing tasks outside. Like I like, you know, being, we have a little garden, Grace and I, like, I like being in the garden. I'm a very amateur woodworker. Like I like making things, you know, I'm a home cook. Like I love using my hands.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to make this amazing career out of it by like writing about it and taking, you know, working with people to take the photos and sharing it and being on social media to share all this. And, you know, that's great. And I'm grateful, but that's not where I feel my best, at least right now in my life. So I just have gotten to know this farm because it's run by a couple. We've been part of their CSA for a while. It's 10 minutes away. Last summer, I started kind of like showing up there every now and then and just like, hey, can you put me to work? Because honestly, my anxiety, I've always lived with a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Some of it's inherited, some I made on my own. and I found at the beginning of COVID, when my anxiety, along with so many other people's, went, you know, way up, I felt so much better when I was outside with like a task, and I was sort of ran out of things to do at home. Like you can only take out the trash so many times. And so I was like, called up my farmer friends, like, hey, can I stop by? Like, I think I need this for my mental health. And I loved it. And I love the work and I really love the people I was working with. And so, yeah, a few months ago, I was talking to this really sweet guy, Bill, who works at the farm. And he was like, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good when I'm not on my computer. And he's like, you know, like they need someone for the crew this year. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And it was like, I went home and I was like about to say something. And I was like, you need to sleep on this. Like, this is a big thing.
Yeah.
But I came home and I spoke to Grace about it. And I slept on it and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And every time I thought about it, it made me feel excited, which was like not something I had felt in a while. So I kind of took a leap. I applied. I got accepted. I spent many hours on the internet trying to figure out which kind of boots I should get.
And what did you settle on?
Okay,
I gotta know.
Well, I bought so many and returned so many because I have a very wide foot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is, maybe people already fell asleep, but anyway.
No, everyone Just trust me.
I landed on, have you heard of Muck Boots?
I haven't.
You know this company?
I haven't, okay. No. I was going to think you were going to say Blundstones, but now.
Oh, but so I tried those, but a little too tight on my feet.
Okay.
And it was rubbing too much. I gave that pair to my mom because they fit her well. And anyway, that's not the question you asked. So Muck Boots,
yeah, tell me about
Muck
Boots.
Great company. They make like, I have a pair that I use for like in the winter, like they're really warm and very tall. and they're really comfortable. So I was like, maybe they have a boot I like. And they just came out with this new, maybe this is my thing I should have brought to the table today, but here we are. I don't know like the name of the style, but it, if you go to their website, like it's like the first thing that comes up because I think it's a new shoe for them. And it kind of looks like a sneaker meets like a low boot, and they're totally waterproof. They slip on really easily. They're so comfortable. My feet like don't hurt as much as I thought they would at the end of the day. And they have been great. I'm really into them. And I wish I remembered the style name. Anyway,
you can email
Grace
me them after we chat,
okay,
and
perfect,
then
perfect.
I can put them in the show notes. That would be awesome.
Grace told me they look like a fashion sneaker.
Oh, fun.
That's cool.
That's fun. I mean, like, I like the idea of you showing up to this job, like, with your new outfit. And you're like,
I was so nervous. Even though I already knew everyone and I had spent time there, I was so nervous. Like, what do I wear on the first day?
Totally.
And then I bought, like, these pants from Patagonia. But I was like, mine are so clean and new. And I was like, do I need to go like roll around in the backyard? Because like, are they too clean? Anyway,
I don't
they
want
got
them
dirty
to think
very
this
fast.
Is my first day. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. What a nice, I think, breath of fresh air in a way. I think a lot of people would look at your job as, you know, not as a cookbook author and say like, wow, like that's the goal for someone who really loves to cook at home. Like what an amazing, wouldn't that be great if your whole job was that? That's your job. Because for a lot of people, cooking at home is a hobby and it doesn't pay the bills and you work to be able to explore your hobbies. But what I think a lot of people don't realize is that when you are doing something you love, it is still a job. And that burnout becomes very apparent in ways that maybe it doesn't become apparent if you're working a job that is not necessarily like centered around your passion, because you become very, because there's like parts of every job you've ever had, any office job, any like corporate job, of which I've had many, where you're like, you kind of go into it knowing like, I'm not going to like every single aspect of what I'm doing and I'm not expecting it to. So my expectations are lower. When you're working a job where it's like the thing that you love, every time you're not having fun, it's so painful. You're so painfully aware of it.
That's a really good point.
And you're like, and it's kind of, and as someone who also has anxiety and who has been prescribed to Xanax since Donald Trump got into office.
I'm a Zoloft girl. But
oh,
there's room
hey
for
girl,
all of us.
Yeah. I mean, look, Julia, I do both. Don't worry. I'm on a heavy cocktail. You know, I think like it's like, that can be really anxiety inducing because it also just makes you question, like no corporate job has ever made me question every single thing about myself. But every time I've done something full time that's like, I love writing and I'm now like writing books full time or whatever. Every time I'm not having fun, I'm like, fuck, like, what have I done? Yeah. Like, maybe this isn't who I am. Maybe this isn't what's making me happy. And I think like the idea that you can choose to keep the same theme, you're still working with food, you're still
literally
obviously it's all about community, it's about being like an active part of your local economy, it's about, you know, meeting the people that you live near and still doing the thing that you love. And it doesn't mean like I don't love writing cookbooks and I don't love writing recipes and I don't love seeing my handwriting over and over and over and over and over again until I get it right. It just means that like jobs in any form are like so difficult.
Yeah.
Like they're hard. And it's okay to like pivot out of that and be like, I'm going to try something new. And like, I've never even thought of, because I work for myself also, I've never even thought like maybe I should find something to like help me step away from this sometimes. That's still something I love. Because right now I just sit on the couch.
Yeah.
And like watch a lot of Bravo. And I feel like no one's going to pay me to do that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Right.
I mean, I still spend a lot of time on the couch watching a lot of Bravo. Yeah. I used to spend more time doing that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, now that I'm farming, my time on the couch watching Bravo, I actually enjoy more. Because
I
don't feel like I'm like
enjoying it more. But yeah, you're like, it's special.
Yeah. And I think I used to feel like, because I work from home for, you know, over a decade, I also think another thing that happens, which I think a lot of people probably have experienced over this past year, is like when you work from home, when you're not working, I can only speak for myself. When I have worked from home, I have felt like when I'm not working, I could be working or I should be working.
Yes.
And when I'm working, I'm like, I could be watching Bravo.
Right.
I could be taking a nap. I could be whatever.
Right.
Like, and I feel never, I've had a really hard time feeling like very present in work or relaxation. And now that I'm working outside of my home, and the job is like incredibly physical and tiring, like when I get home, I just want to rest. And my home has become for me a much more like peaceful, restful place because it's this is not where I'm working right now. And that has been, I know this is probably like obvious to so many people, but this is like my first time having like a real job. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm also like not in charge. I'm not making decisions. And I am loving that. And I also have zero desire to be like the best. Like I am like the oldest person like on the crew, and I'm not very old, and I haven't been doing this for a long time. Like everyone's faster at everything than I am, and I just feel like I just don't want to let my team down. Like that is my goal for the day. I have no desire to be like the best. Like I don't want to like win at farming. I don't want to start my own farm. Like, you know, and like writing books and podcasts and stuff, like things both you and I do. Like, I don't know how it feels for you, but like I've done this stuff because I love it and I care about it. But also like we're put into systems where we're looking at like rankings and numbers and all this stuff. Yep. And like I'm just like, did I make all the radish bunches I was supposed to make?
Yeah. Like, well, once you have to start monetizing something, it does, sometimes the conversation does become about, you know, ranking and numbers and audiences. And I mean, I feel like very lucky because I really like the audience that we've built here, but it's like, it's not, it's definitely more fun. I have the percentage of fun I have is more than I've had at any corporate job, but you still, there's still days where I'm like, I'm the boss. Like, why don't I just like not answer any of these emails? But like, if I don't, then I'm screwed. Like, I just like, there's things I have to do that I don't want to do. And like, you know, such is life. And like, wah, wah, wah. But like, before we get to your item, I need to know, what are you watching on Bravo?
Oh, Real Housewives of New York, Real Housewives of Dallas, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my gosh.
And then most importantly, Below Deck. I've seen every season.
I've never seen a Below Deck. That's the one I have not gotten to.
Gosh.
I should try.
So good.
Really?
So
is it
good.
Great? Where I'm do like, I start?
You can ask the people I farm with. I talk about Below Deck like once a day.
Have you gotten anyone who is not watching Below Deck at the farm into Below Deck?
I think they're considering it.
I love that.
I don't know.
Do you watch
Summer House? I don't
know
that anyone's actually. Well, I haven't, and I'm really tempted, but I feel like that's a slippery slope.
Julia, I will trade with you. I will watch Below Deck if you skip seasons 1 and 2 in Summer House. They were getting their sea legs, and it was bad. Season 3, 4, and 5 is honestly some of the best reality television I've ever seen.
So this is good to know, because I think I saw a few from like 1 or 2, and I was like,
yeah. Yeah, no, definitely you could leave it. Dan and I watched Summer House when Vanderpump Rules backed into it. You know, when you're like, wait a minute, I'm watching another show. Bravo's very good at that.
Oh,
And we didn't like it. And then all of a sudden, all of our friends were talking about Summer House, and we were like, oh, like those losers, like we have such good taste. Like that show sucks. And then everyone was like, skip seasons 1 and 2.
Okay.
They'll do
this
enough
good advice.
They'll do enough flashbacks in season 3 where you can kind of get the vibe and you know the relationships or whatever. Seasons 3, 4, and 5 are honestly some of the best television I have ever seen. And for someone who watched like two episodes or three episodes of Summer House in 2016 and then never wanted to return to it, I binged 3, 4, and 5 in like a month.
Okay. It's so funny about you saying like you can skip them and like enough flashbacks, because when Grace and I watch any Bravo show together, if one of us needs to, I don't know, go get like something to drink or go use the bathroom or something, we're all like, we're always saying to each other like, you want me to pause it?
Yeah.
And then we're both like, I think we'll follow.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
We can get
like, I don't think we're going to miss any big plot twists.
The only requirement for like TV watching for me is like, if I go pee or like get distracted for 15 minutes, am I going to be totally lost on the plot when I get, when I return?
Yeah.
And for Bravo, the answer is
no,
never yes. So, I mean, yeah, it's perfect. It's really, really perfect. New York is off to a strong start watching all of these shows. Oh, and so the other thing about Summer House is season 3 and 4 are kind of the same concept, you know, in the city Monday through Friday, go to the Hamptons, back in the city Monday. For the pandemic, they were like, okay, we're all going to COVID test you have you quarantined, and then we're going to throw you in this house for 6 weeks. You can all, it's a much bigger house. You can all bring your office stuff. We'll pay for it. Wow. No one can come in. No one can go out. It's all, it's like Big Brother, Real World, Summer House.
Oh my gosh.
Survivor. It's so good.
I'm really excited.
It's so good.
This sounds great.
It's so good. Anyway, and I will watch Below Deck because I feel like maybe it's time.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Where do I start with Below Deck?
Okay, so there's like a few different Below Deck franchises. I don't know what you would call them. But there's like Below Deck Sailing Yacht Edition, which I think they're on their second season.
Okay.
And then there's like the classic Below Deck with the motor yacht. And the sailing one is what's airing currently.
Okay.
I have to say, I mean, you don't have to choose, but if I had to choose, I would go with the motor yacht seasons.
Okay.
The sailing one, I think... I'm sure if you're on this huge sailboat and the sails go up, it's very exciting. But watching it from your couch, like they change the music. It gets like really like it's like this big moment when the sails go up and it's kind of like, OK,
congrats.
No offense
to
sailors. Yeah, right, sorry. Exactly. But I think they're trying to make the sailing kind of a big deal. But anyway, the motor yacht one, basically, there's a bunch of seasons. And for the most part, there's you can watch with Captain Sandy, who's this awesome woman, who's the captain, or Captain Lee, who's this other guy who's very funny. I really love Captain Sandy, just basically because I'm a gay woman and so is she. And it's just cool to see like a woman running this boat. But also any season with Kate Chastain, she's the head stew. Okay. She is so funny. Okay. She's so, so funny. So I would recommend any of those. I don't know off the top of my head what like season numbers they are because it's confusing.
Okay.
But just look for Kate Chastain because she's Sandy. Very entertaining. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. But Kate, sorry, this is very complicated.
No, you got to tell
Kate
me.
Kate often works with Captain Lee.
Okay.
Captain Lee is fine, but just.
But we're anyway, there for
these
Kate.
These are just things to know. Yes.
I understand. Okay, good. I've been looking for a new show to suck me in and that maybe this is it now that I'm done with Summer House. I'm very excited. Oh, I'm like, and we will keep in touch and we will discuss where we're at.
No, I'm gonna watch Summer House like when we get off the phone.
You're like calling the farm.
My
like,
day off.
I can't come in. Yeah, you're like, I have to quit the farm. I've found Summer House. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed my time here. Well, okay. So now we have to know. I know we spoke about it a little bit before we hit record, and you were a little nervous because this wasn't technically a product, but you were very excited about it.
Yeah.
So I said, let's just do it. What did you, quote unquote, bring to GDX Just Bought It?
What I have brought is the recommendation to install Boomerang if you use Gmail.
Okay.
And to use Boomerang. I don't know. Is it an app? Maybe.
It may be like an extension. I don't use it. So like,
okay.
I don't also, okay. So I'm not Gen Z. So like, I now don't know how to use any technology or like organize my email. So like, maybe it's an extension. Yes. Maybe it's an app. I don't know. But like, it doesn't come with Google. Like you have to go find it. Correct?
Yeah. Except I think maybe Google, since I've been using it for years on my wife Grace's recommendation, and she was telling me about it for literally like years, like multiple before I finally gave into it. And then I was like, why didn't I listen to her sooner? Like what took me so long?
What is
And it? I think it used to be an independent thing. And I think maybe Google has bought it. Okay.
Yeah,
I
do have the money.
Extension, right? Yeah, they're doing okay.
They're doing okay. Yeah, exactly.
It's an extension, an app, something. It's something that if you, I'm sure there's people younger listening who are like
screaming
at the, yeah, exactly. But Google Boomerang for Gmail and then follow the instructions.
Okay.
It is this thing you can basically embed into your Gmail account and you can, there's like snooze on Gmail now, which is like kind of like Boomerang Lite, but it doesn't do everything Boomerang does. And what Boomerang allows you to do is if you send an email to someone, let's say we get off the phone, I send you an email and I'm asking you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of me remembering, I have sent you an email with a question that I'm waiting for an answer on.
and then write that on a post-it for myself, or try to keep it in my mind,
right,
or write a note on my calendar.
Like, or make a separate folder that's like undealt with. Right, sure.
Yeah. Like, hey, if you don't hear back from her like in a week, follow up. Like, those are notes I used to leave myself in my calendar all the time because, again, anxiety. So Boomerang lets you, like, you press the little thing and then you say return if not replied to, and then you can set the date or you can set the time, and you can also schedule emails to send. So like, if you want to write an email, but like maybe you're writing it on the weekend, but you don't want to send it till Monday, you can like schedule it. You can also schedule only if the person doesn't reply to you. Like, and it's very easy to use. And it has honestly changed my life, because I used to have so much inbox anxiety, and I used to always worry about like, oh, I asked someone something, but like now I'm depending on them to get back to me.
Right.
And what if I forget about this thing and I like lose the thread? And now I just, it's just right there, and it boomerangs it back. And it's so fantastic, and it's the best thing ever.
Wow. Like, I didn't know this existed, which is not surprising. And if Jolie, who's on my team, which we're a team of two, she is my team. She's so much better at email than I am. And she's probably the one screaming at the episode right now being like, you guys, how did you not know? But like, this would save me so much anxiety.
Yeah. And time.
And time.
Like, looking through your email and all that kind of stuff. And like, it's just like, I right now, so I also have a podcast, fellow podcaster. And I just, I got to do all these like amazing virtual events for my book tour because I put out a book during a pandemic.
Right.
So instead of like going to a bookstore and asking someone to join me, we did that, but we did it on Zoom.
Yeah.
So we got to record all the conversations. So I just put them all up as like podcast episodes. I've been editing them. But I wanted to, like, once a week, you know, say something on Instagram about them.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more apps where you can schedule all this stuff. Again, people younger are probably like, oh my God, you are out of your mind. But I, this morning, spent like, you know, however much time, because I had time today, I don't know, half an hour or something. And I wrote for each episode, like, the little caption I want to write.
Yeah.
And I have my image, but I scheduled the email to go to me like at the same time every Monday morning. So I remember to post it. So I've already written my thing. It's like not on my mind, and it's going to show up in my inbox that I don't have to go search for it. And it's so nice.
My
mind is so great.
Honestly blown by like the amount of automation now it will let you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because my entire life is lists that I then lose.
Yes.
Of handwriting that I cannot read, and it's my own.
Yeah.
And just forgetting and popping up in the middle of the night being like, I didn't do the thing I said I was going to do. And it's like due in 3 hours. And I totally forgot. And like, I used to be super type A when I was managing, when I used to manage a team, I used to have to, you have to be type A when you're in charge. And I had like a whole color coded thing. And now that I just really work for myself, I've become like very lax, but it's almost too lax. And email anxiety, inbox anxiety really kills me.
Yeah.
And I don't almost
I don't have to.
This is really, this is going to change. This, I hope this changes me. I'm going to just put that out there. I'm literally going to like write it down. And it doesn't cost anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Even if it did, I would pay for it, honestly, at this point. But like,
I feel like if it does, it's so minimal that I can't remember, because I get like upset about things that cost money that I don't think they like, whatever.
No, certainly, I get it. No, I but, yeah,
you know,
I'm weird but about like this, apps that cost $1.99.
Yeah.
Even though I would spend like $6 on something like way less useful
on
my credit card somewhere else. But like, I'm like, oh, $1.99. What are they thinking?
I should have confirmed this before we started. I feel like,
okay, I'll confirm it after.
I think that it might, I think maybe you get like a certain number free per month,
sure,
but if you use more, it costs something, but not very much.
Okay. This is exciting. Was there one event in your pre-boomerang life that set you over the, that you were like, this is a problem I have to fix?
Oh,
did you forget something? Was there
yeah,
did you drop the ball on
all
something
the time.
Big? Oh, like multiple things.
Multiple times. It wasn't so much that I was dropping the ball. It was like, I always felt like I had to hold the ball. Like, and basically I didn't know this existed till Grace told me about it. And Grace was just observing me be full of anxiety all the time about like, wait, did I think I wrote this person? Wait, did I hear back from this person?
Yeah.
And I would say this kind of thing all the time, basically interrupting our enjoyment of Bravo. And she's like, just use Boomerang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we can watch Below Deck.
Oh my God. The four of us would be like a real, quad. Like, I feel like a lot of similarities, a lot of things we could bring to the table. Dan mm-hmm. and I, you guys can sell us on Below Deck. We would sell you on Summer House. Dan and I recently just figured out how to look at each other's Google calendars. We've been together for seven years. And there's a lot of like, and now that we have this loud puppy, like, like there's a lot of, it was this a similar situation where Dan was like, you forget that I have therapy like during this hour and you have to take the dog. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know? And then I was like, invite me to your therapy thing. And he's like, that's weird. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to go. I'm like, put it on my calendar. And then I realized like, oh, I can, there's a way I can just see your calendar and it'll show up on my calendar as like a thing that maybe I need to be aware of. And then after that, it was like, oh, we can find another problem now.
Yeah.
Because this one is solved. And it's all about like pushing three buttons.
Yeah.
But it took us a really long time to get there. And I feel like Boomerang is going to be really exciting for me.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's so funny you say that because years ago, I don't remember when, but years ago, Grace and I were like, oh, we should like have access to each other's calendars for everything you just described. And Grace took one look at mine and was like, nope, I'm out of here. Because like, I put so much on my calendar. Like it's just how I like, so I don't have it in my head. I write it down. And she was like, no, there's too much. This is
she's
crazy.
Like, I'm, she's going to start like, selling your Zoloft. I understand. Dan will probably say the same thing about me, but I put everything on the calendar, like social events. Like I send friends. I'm one of those people who sends friends a Cal invite when we talk about hanging out. Mm-hmm. Some people think that's weird. I don't think that's weird. I will forget.
I think it's great.
Thank
I'm
you.
Into it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Because
I don't know how to send calendar invites, but I know how to receive them.
Okay, so I am just a tad younger than you then, because I understand how to send calendar invites, but I don't know how to organize my inbox on like priority and like start or whatever. I just let the emails come. Jolie once like yelled at me. She's like, "Are you not prioritizing your inbox?" And I was like, "I'm your boss. You can't judge me. What are you doing?" I was like so offended. I had to play like authority card. I will show you how to do a Cal invite.
Okay.
But if I don't send one to a friend when we talk about hanging out, that friend will be calling me from wherever we're supposed to be meeting, being like, hey, like, are you coming? And I'm still on the couch watching Bravo.
So
it has to be that way.
Yeah.
And I have to schedule like when the dog needs her flea medication, when the cats
have to.
But like, I can't keep that stuff in my head.
I have things that repeat like once a year. Like the car needs to be inspected.
It's all right, and it's always the car. The car.
I wish this was a video so people could see the just gesture you just made.
Well, I just say that because we spent a lot of time at the DMV the other day because we forgot the car. It's just like, you know, the pandemic ruined something in me in that like we did nothing for so long now that like doing anything, even like just the routine stuff is like, what do you mean I have to go to the DMV? And I was like, if anyone pulls me over for the car registration, I'll just be like, we're in a pandemic. But I don't know. I don't know if that'll
I had
work.
To get something notarized the other week.
Oh, my
and
God.
I was like, oh, this will take a day. This is a day of my life.
Oh, my God. That is the kind of task that I would spend 3 days wringing my hands over.
Totally.
Go do it. And then spend the next 2 days before I have to bring the notarized item somewhere being like, I did it wrong. Something about this is that was too easy. It was too easy to go to that post office and get this thing notarized.
Totally.
And be afraid that I did it wrong. Wow. You and I really keeping the pharmaceutical companies and therapists in business. I mean,
someone has to.
Someone has to. That's my personal talent I bring to the world. Do you have, I can't believe we've been talking for this long and I promised to get you up before 11 and now it's 11. Before we sign off, I'm very excited about Boomerang. I'm like very excited about you watching Summer House.
Yeah, I am too.
Bringing it back to Simply Julia. Also, like, how cool is it that like publishers are so, have so many opinions about names of books or whatever. To have a cookbook called Simply Julia and it's not Julia Child, that is so cool. Like, do you feel very cool about that?
Well, it's sort of like you asking about like the book coming out, you know, on the year anniversary of the pandemic. And it's like, you know, good for home cooks. And it's like, was that a plan? And it's like, you know, like I wasn't named after Julia Child and my parents didn't know I would like love to cook so much. It was my childhood nickname. I like Julia the Child.
Sure.
I was called that because I love to cook. So for me, it's just like something that feels really like fun and funny and, you know,
like, yeah, I'll take it. It's great. I don't really know. Like,
it's amazing, though. Yeah. Because, like, in a world, like, I can kind of hear that, like, as someone who's published books before, too. Like, when you have all these conversations about titles, there's always someone in the room being like, if we call it simply Julia, some people might think it's a Julia Child Cook. But this just means, like, you are so known and important as a standalone that Julia Child can go... Because people know who you are. And I think that that's amazing.
Yeah. Also, like, there's a picture of me on the cover, is like a little scary. But, like, I think it's like, I feel like it's pretty clear that I'm a different person. But if it's not, like, I feel like people, you know, obviously like her books. So if you buy mine by accident.
And you think it's Julia Child publishing hers, a new book in 2021. Great. I have some sad news to share with you. Is this your house? Is this a photo?
That's my house. Oh, yeah.
So jealous. That kitchen rules. Before we go, do you have a favorite recipe? Someone who picks up this book for the first time, maybe who just bought the book. Where do they start? What's your go-to? What's Grace's favorite dinner? Like, what's the meal in here that you have made the most and you never get tired of? Just tell us.
I'm going to give you a few answers, but I'm going to make it quick.
Please.
The recipe I probably make the most often is that any frozen fruit and cornmeal cobbler. It's in the dessert chapter. You basically use any type of frozen fruit.
Excellent.
And then you make this really simpler cobbler topping, which is basically like a cornbread topping. You spoon it on. Like, if you can make pancake batter, you can make this. You put it in the oven. I make this all the time, like once a week.
Wow.
I eat it for dessert like almost every night. I'll often eat it for breakfast.
I was gonna say, yogurt. Great. Excellent.
Yeah. I love it. That. Also, the white pizza style kale is so good. And it could be any green. It could be, you know, like broccoli rabe or spinach or whatever, or kale, or a mix of all these things. You basically just cook it with a bunch of garlic, and then you put some ricotta and mozzarella on top, run it under the broiler, and then put all the things you would put on a slice of pizza. So like dried oregano, garlic powder, some grated Parmesan. It's so good.
I'm in.
I make it all the time. And then Grace's favorite recipe, you asked about that.
Yes.
Or about like what she likes, maybe you asked.
Anyway, yes. What is she asking for?
You mentioned this recipe earlier, the everything bagel hand pies. That is her favorite recipe. I made some yesterday because I've been doing every other week. I'm teaching these cooking classes online and I love it. And it's so much fun. And I used to hate doing demos and classes because I felt really awkward because I was like standing in front of people and I was like,
it's very theatrical. Feels weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But now I can do it on Zoom from home and I'm in my home kitchen where I'm like the most comfortable. So yesterday I taught a brunch class and I made the everything bagel hand pies. So Grace and I had the recipe makes four. We each had one yesterday and then we each had one for lunch today. I made a little chopped salad and we had those and it was awesome.
That sounds incredible.
It's great.
I'm ready. Like the possibilities are endless for me. And by that, I mean, I'm just going to put post-it notes in the book and put it on Dan's desk later and be like, just some ideas. I love it. Julia Tertian, thank you so much for coming to G-Thanks Just Bought It.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun and it flew by and I feel like I've like known you a long time
we're best friends.
This
now.
Was great. Yeah. BFF.
I can't
forever.
Wait for you to come back and tell us about the wet hat that you're going to wear. That's going to keep you cool at the farm. I have a lot of questions, but you're right. I want you to use it first. I want you to have a full review. Yeah.
We could do like a farm gear.
That's
episode,
an excellent.
But maybe when I like have a little bit more experience.
I think at the end of the summer, we'll have you back. And Dan has been on the show before because I like roped him in. He came on in December to talk about all the things I bought in the year that he hated. And I think you guys, I would just let you guys talk because I feel like you would have a real convo about
great.
Farming and loquats and things of that nature that I'm like, sure. Yeah. But the wet hat feels so right. It feels so right. And I can't wait to hear what you think about Summer House, and I can't wait to start using Boomerang and maybe turn into a little bit more of an organized person again. I loved having you, and I know everyone's going to love this episode. You guys, I will link to everything we talked about in the show notes, including the muck boots. You can tell me which boots.
Familiar.
And including Blundstones.
And then you can boomerang it.
Yeah, I'll boomerang it. And and I want you to not answer that email just so I can then take advantage of my newfound boomerang. I'm going to teach you how to send a calendar invite. Like, it's amazing. And you guys, Simply Julia, 110 easy recipes for healthy comfort food is available wherever you buy books. I suggest buying it at the indie bookstore of your choice. And remember,
I
this
agree
is
with that.
Her handwriting. Incredible. I just love you. I'm so happy you came. Thank you so much for being here.
This is great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. Absolutely.